Okay, let's finish Judges 21. Let's read this. Judges 21. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "None of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin in marriage." So the people came to Bethel and sat there before God until evening, lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. And they said, "Why, O Lord God of Israel, has this come about in Israel, so that one tribe should be missing today in Israel?" And it came about the next day that the people arose early and built an altar there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then the sons of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up in the assembly to the Lord?" For they had taken a great oath concerning him who had not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." The sons of Israel were sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, "One tribe is cut off from Israel today. What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?" And they said, "What is one there of the tribes of Israel who did not come up to the Lord at Mizpah?" And behold, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For when the people were numbered, behold, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. And the congregation sent 12,000 of the valiant warriors there, commanded them, saying, "Go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the little ones. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every man and every woman who has lain with a man." And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins who had not known a man by lying with him, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Then the whole congregation sent word and spoke to the sons of Benjamin who were at the rock of Rimmon and proclaimed peace to them. And Benjamin returned at that time, and they gave them the women whom they had kept alive from the women of Jabesh-Gilead, yet they were not enough for them. And the people were sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do for wives for those who are left, since the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be blotted out from Israel. But we cannot give them wives of our daughters, for the sons of Israel had sworn, saying, 'Cursed is he who gives a wife to Benjamin.'" And they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord from year to year in Shiloh, which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Lebanon." And they commanded the sons of Benjamin, saying, "Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and watch, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to take part in the dances, then you shall come out of the vineyards, from each of you shall catch his wife from the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall come about, when their fathers or their brothers come to complain to us, that we shall say to them, 'Give them to us voluntarily, because we did not take for each man of Benjamin a wife in battle, nor did you give them to them, else you would now be guilty.' And the sons of Benjamin did so, and took wives according to their number from those who danced, whom they carried away, and they went and returned to their inheritance, and rebuilt the cities, and lived in them. And the sons of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family, and each one of them went out there from there to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Amen. Okay. This is such a sad tale. Again, going all the way back to chapter 19, this is the story that's laid out. Now, number one, you have to understand it in context. I'm gonna talk about the context a little bit. But for some of you guys that weren't here, it goes back. A Levite goes to visit a city. There are some certain worthless men, these homosexuals, that want to have relations with a man. The house that he's in, shamefully, the old man and the Levite offer up their wives and their virgin daughters to these men, which is actually against protocol, against the law in this regard. You are husbands and fathers are meant to protect their daughters. All that stuff happens. They end up basically raping this concubine, which is the wife of the Levite. And then and she dies, rapes her all night long, she dies. The Levite cuts her body in 12 pieces, sends her out all over Israel, basically to set up some kind of tribunal, to basically say, "We need to have an assembly because now sin is upon Israel." So they gather together in Mizpah, they decide that they're going to go and punish the tribe of Benjamin. They give Benjamin a chance, but they don't repent, and they basically array themselves in war. They come to battle, totally wiped out Benjamin. only left is 600 inhabitants. And so you pick up the story. Now, the only reason the story makes sense, because trust me, it makes no sense whatsoever in of itself. The only reason the story makes sense is really the beginning of this whole thing and the end of this whole thing, where it says, verse 25, this is the last verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And we mentioned before that what happens is chaos will reign when man is given over to their own devices. When everyone does whatever is right in their own eyes, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have anarchy. You're going to have a lot of horrible things happen. And so the writer of Judges, with that statement in mind, that chaos reigns when man is left to his own devices and does whatever they think is right in their own eyes, God is eliminated from the picture, and the writer of Judges chooses this scene to give us an example to depict. See, this is what happens when man is left to their own devices and does whatever is right in their own eyes. So, let's unpack this. First thing you know, you can see the utter schizophrenia of the people. You have to think about this. They just came back from slaughtering men, women, and children. I mean, they wiped everybody out, and they come back to this place, and they wept. And they said, oh, we're so sad that we killed everybody. We're so sad that we blotted their name out. I mean, this is how crazy your thinking becomes when you are left to your own devices. So, and I mean, it gets worse. So they come out, they slaughtered everyone. Can you imagine? They killed children. They killed mothers and wives. And they only left 600 men. Why? I have no idea. They leave 600, they come back, and they are sad. And they worship God. They do offerings to the Lord. I wonder if the Lord received those offerings, but in any case, they offer these offerings to the Lord. Then, on top of that, they come back and say, oh man, we're really sad. After they killed all these people, we're really sad we did this. We now have 600 Benjaminites. We should prepare wives for them. But we made an oath that said none of our sons will go there. So what shall we do? I wonder, did anyone not go to battle? Oh, yeah, there was this city, Jabesh-Gilead. These are the Benjaminites. These guys didn't come in battle. All right, 12,000 soldiers, go kill them. Now think about this. They are sad. They kill people. So what are they going to do to appease their sadness? Kill some more people. Do you understand? Chaos reigns when you are left to your own devices. When you take God out of the equation, you're going to have chaos. It's going to be horrible. There's going to be no discernment in Israel. So what do they decide to do? You know what? Let's go kill some more people. So they kill everybody in the land of Jabesh-Gilead, and they leave 400 virgins. So can you imagine this is straight up execution. So they go in, and it's not like they just go in and kill everybody. First of all, they set aside all the women. And then they find out who the virgins are, and they put them in pile A. And if you're not a virgin, married, or, you know, then you go to pile B, and they kill you and your children. So think about this. They're sad that they had killed so many Israelites.
So, 600 men, we should get wives from them. But we made an oath. I mean, think about this. We made an oath to the Lord. So let's go kill some more people. Now, I don't know about you. I think God will release them from that oath, personally. I mean, if it comes to that part. So they go and kill. They set up 400 virgins. Okay? They give 400 of these virgins, so they ship them all the way. It's like a slave train. Ship them all the way back to Shiloh. Give them to the tribe of Benjamin. But let's do the math. 600 men, 400 women. We're 200 men short. And so these guys are like, oh, we're so sad. What are we going to do? They've already killed the whole town. They said, oh, this is what we're going to do. Now, think about how disastrous this is. This is when they're talking about in verse 19. They said, "Behold, there's a feast of the Lord." This is the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, this is a great feast they're talking about, and this is a place where they're meant to be joyful. And what would happen? And Josephus actually write about this. And what would happen is that the ladies during in their worship, because it's festive, would go out to the fields, and no men would be around. And so they're a little bit more uninhibited. There's a little more joy, and they would go out and dance in the fields before the Lord. I think it's a little too loud. So that they would go out and dance in the field, and look at these idiots. They say, "Look, here's what we're going to do during the feast. I mean, the feast is holy, and they're making it unholy. We're going to go out to the feast, and Benjamin, I want you to go and it's properly they use the word pray." I want you to go and look out and pray on the women. As soon as a woman comes out to dance, which was actually common practice, it was worship. No one else was there. They were celebrating the Exodus. They were celebrating what God had done for them. So anyone that goes out to the field and totally uninhibited, no men are supposed to be there, and start dancing, you can take them. In other words, you can kidnap them. And they know this is wrong. Because they say if the fathers and the sons come out, basically say, no, you can't have them. We have this right, you know, by the leaders of Israel and so on and so forth. And it goes that way. And think about this. The leaders of Israel say that's okay. The fathers and sons that come out to defend the women that were kidnapped say it's okay because everyone goes back to their home as if, you know, the leaders are thinking, oh, and we solved this problem. We're geniuses. We fixed this issue. And what do? Murder? Kidnap? I mean, separating fathers from their daughters, mothers, not even separating, killing mothers and their daughters, and all these things. And just to appease these 600 men, whom they're already sorry for killing them to begin with. I mean, this is such a crazy, crazy story. What's the point? The point is, when there's no king in Israel, in other words, when God does not rule, chaos will reign. Man, left to their own devices, will bring about his destruction. I think the reason why this story is told is really the pure schizophrenia of the people. Notice that Most of these leaders think they're being righteous. They think they're doing right by doing something horribly wrong. I mean, it's crazy. They think that this is, we should righteously, yeah, we should provide some wives for these guys. But the way they go about it is horribly wrong. That's what happens when God is out of the equation. You may think you're doing something right. We have no discernment whatsoever in these kinds of situations. Take God out of the equation, take His rule, His reign, we're going to be led to some really, really horrible circumstances and horrible situations. And that's what happens. This is a crazy story. I mean, I can see atheists drooling. It reads stories like this. Right? I mean, I can imagine, and I think I've read a little bit of Sam Harrison, when he talks about these types of killings, you know, all throughout. To depict, see how God is this crazy God, you know, God delusion and whatnot. But the reality is, it has nothing to do with God. What Judges is depicting is, this is what happens when you take God. Going back to what we talked about yesterday, in the world, in universities and whatnot, this idea of secular humanism. In other words, human beings are ultimately good. At the end of the day, they're all right, and they'll do good. The Bible and our common history will tell us that's actually not true. Man is evil. And when you take God out of the equation, chaos. And we see such a they kill thousands, women, children, men. And then afterwards, immediately after the slaughter, they mourn. And they mourn by killing some more of their Israelite men. This is just craziness at work. I mean, this is anarchy. This is mob rule. And that's precisely what happens when God is taken out of the equation. When man does only what's right, just what happens, it leads to these type situations. And it is a sad it's really how sad it is in this regard. You know, all to say that it's failed. The period of judges has failed. Right? Because obviously there's a whole point of this, and really it's the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, who will be the ultimate judge and the only one that's able to rule and reign in this regard. So let's close our eyes. Wow, a crazy way to end Judges.
What's the song?
Looking forward to next week when we're going to move a better story.
I love your presence.
Let's make this a little more personal. I'm sure raping, murder, all these things, hopefully that's not going to be a part of our presentation. But what areas of your lives are you omitting God from? You say Jesus is Lord, but you also say, God, don't interfere with my finances. Don't interfere with my dating relationships. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to spend money any way I want to spend. What areas of our life are we omitting God from? And in essence, doing what's right in our own eyes, which will lead to chaos. I know you've heard pastors say phrases like this. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord of all. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. What areas of our life is we have that there's no rain? God is not king. And as the Lord convicts you, submit that area to Jesus so that you can walk in his blessing. That his reign and his rule will overcome any circumstance or situation.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord over this church, over this body of believers. go to our community prayers and instead of our family and friends battling cancer, going through different treatments. So let's pray for God. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness, but also needs the name of Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray over our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia today. Let's pray for Grace and Ministry of Bloom. Pray for next steps for her, that God will continue to lead her and guide her. Pray for ministry. I know there's some trips this summer. Let's pray for God's open door. And just the hand of the Lord and move upon our team to minister in Cambodia. Let's also pray for Pastor Sophia in Japan. Pray for her language studies that will go well. She's now working, or helping out at the church. Let's pray lift up our friends, but also lift up our discussions. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Pray for IP, Well, Cascade. Pray for anointing. Pray for protection. Pray for spirit unity throughout the ministries, and that people be effectively ministered. Thank you. education ministry. So pray for Noah's Ark, pray for the youth, pray for SPU, pray for anointing, young people to really encounter the Lord. All the volunteers will be encouraged and strengthened. Pray over our Thursday outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights and homeless outreach. Let's pray for connections with the girls and with the mamasans. And the Lord will really use the ladies that go out tonight for the homeless outreaches. Let's pray for House Church tonight, Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, and Olympic. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to rule and reign over the discussions, over the ministry. Pray for our leaders and our hosts that they would lead with the heart of the Father. Let's just really pray for significant ministry tonight. Lord, thank you, God. We are saddened, Lord, but alarmed as well. And such a vivid example of what happens, God, when we leave you out. God, what can happen, Lord, when we do whatever is right in our own eyes, God? And Lord, we just want to submit ourselves, our families, our work, our relationships, our finances, God, our church, and our ministries, Lord, and submit it to you, Lord, and say, you are the King. You rule and you reign over our life, over our families, over our church, God. So come and take your place, Lord, and be glorified in the midst of us, Lord. Watch over us today, help us to glorify Jesus and all that we do and say. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you.